William Gustafsson from Vaisala.
Good morning. I am Bill Gustafson from Vaisala's Seattle office, formerly known as 3-Tier. Vaisala, as I'm sure many of you know, is a weather instrumentation company of long standing. By acquiring 3-Tier and Second Wind about a year and a half ago, we are positioning ourselves to provide end-to-end measurement, forecasting, resource assessment, power production, and operational support services to the renewable energy industry. I personally have been working for 3-Tier and now Vaisala since 2007, largely working on our solar product offerings. Gwen Bender and I are co-authors on this presentation, summarizing our current progress on incorporating Chris Guimard's REST2 algorithm into our global irradiance dataset processing. We are constantly looking at ways to improve our model by incorporating new data or new algorithms. Our unit within Vaisala has been using the SUNY Perez Clear Sky model for more than 5 years. Our experience providing global solar resource assessments for clients and validation work at more than 100 public sites globally has convinced us to pursue using REST2 to improve our implementation of the Perez model. Also, several independent validation exercises of Clear Sky models have selected REST2 as the best model, and NREL has also publicly acknowledged that. Building on that previous work, we decided to do a global validation, hence this presentation. So we are comparing our existing processing model to a REST2-based processing model, but only comparing clear sky hours in our data set, since we currently don't have a suitable CI to GHI modulation function for REST2. I'm going to summarize our current processing model, the changes that using REST2 would introduce, have a short summary of the publicly available observations that we are comparing to. What statistics we're comparing, show some results, and discuss the further work that we will be doing. So we are following the basic methodology laid out by Dr. Perez in his paper, A New Operational Model for Satellite-Derived Irradiances, modified with certain proprietary algorithms and various publicly available data. Summarized on this slide are the data sources used for our cloud index calculation. We have historical geosynchronous weather satellite data for 5 regions going back to between 1997 and 1999, depending on the region. Snow cover is incorporated into our proprietary cloud model, and we use an operational data set provided by the National Snow and Ice Data Center here in Boulder. We currently use Dr. Perez's Clear Sky irradiance calculation using linked turbidity values calculated following Dr. Pierre Anishin's paper on converting linked turbidity and aerosol optical depth and atmospheric water vapor. We are currently using MODIS level 3 daily aerosol optical depth and water vapor from both the Terra and Aqua satellites, and we use both the standard retrievals and the deep blue algorithm values. As shown here, we are using MODIS data with ground resolution of 1 degree and daily time steps. We have long identified that one of the primary places where we could improve our results would be in the Clear Sky model, and a significant amount of our work has been directed toward trying to improve the source data used in our processing stream. We started with a global linked turbidity climatology, and then we adapted the Anishin method to get turbidity from MODIS AOD and water vapor for monthly values. We added additional satellite information from Aqua to that turbidity model. And now we've switched to using the daily values. Throughout this process, the improvements have been incremental, but not dramatic. So this is our existing process. So as I was saying earlier, we take raw satellite data and snow cover and calculate a cloud index from that. And we take MODIS AOD and precipitable water data and elevation to calculate clear sky irradiance. We then take the cloud index and the clear sky irradiance, modulate the clear sky irradiance with the cloud index to calculate a GHI value. DNI values are then calculated using from GHI using Perez's modified DIR-INT method. Diffuse is calculated from GHI and DNI and the solar zenith angle. Dr. Guimard's REST2 model is a parameterized version of his SMARTS radiative transfer model. We currently use defaults for ozone, albedo, single scattering albedo, and asymmetry. And we are using the ECMWF MAC. MAC stands for Monitoring Atmospheric Composition and Climate reanalysis data set, which has considerably more parameters available to it. So we calculate Angstrom's exponent, or alpha, using a linear fit of 12 AOD values from 380 nanometers to 1020. We use the AOD at 550 nanometers directly, precipitable water, and surface pressure. The ECMWF MAC data set has a spatial resolution of about 7/10 of a degree and a 3R time step. Although a model, it does assimilate MODIS AOD that we are currently using as part of its setup. To incorporate the REST2 model, we have to make the following changes to our processing stream. We replace the MODIS inputs that we calculate link turbidity from with the ECMWF MAC inputs, and REST2 uses those directly, so link values are not calculated. The cloud index processing will be unchanged at this time. We will have to formulate modulation functions to calculate DNI and GHI from REST2 output directly, rather than the previous method of calculating DNI from GHI. For comparison, we gathered 124 publicly available ground stations from these sources. We are only using data from 2003 to 2012, since that's the period for the MAC reanalysis data that we're currently using. Basic quality control was done on this data. The stations are independent of one another and independent of the modeled output. In general, we do not allow local observations to affect our model. That way our clients can be assured that they can make comparisons from site to site. I'll just reemphasize that none of the stations used were used to calibrate the data. So both models were used to calculate an hourly GHI, mean GHI value, and then filtered for hours where our cloud index was less than 0.1, which is our proxy for clear sky in this case. The standard statistical measures shown here are calculated and compared. So low bias error reduces overall uncertainty in our resource estimate, which is what our clients are primarily concerned with. RMS ensures that our hour-to-hour values are generally tracking well, and looking at MAE ensures we don't have bias errors that are canceling out. So, how'd we do? As they say in journalism school, don't bury the lead. In absolute terms, 80 of the stations showed improvement in mean bias error. More than 100 showed improvement in RMS, and 90 showed improvement in mean absolute error. We can show, this is our current model, mean bias error percent. From minus 10% in blue to plus 10% in red. Ideally, what you'd see here are all white circles if your model was completely unbiased. But the thing to note is that we don't have regional bias problems. Like, there's a distribution of positive and negative bias geographically. And that's our current model. And then REST2 looks like this. And I'm going to try to flip back and forth. So here's our current model. Here's REST2. I love doing this. So here's the current and REST2. What I see, and what I hope you see, is that the REST2 model is more pastel, if you will, and that our current model has a positive bias, or that it's redder, basically. So for those of you that would prefer to see it side by side. Here we have the continental United States with our current model on the left side and the REST II model on the right side. So in the Pacific Northwest and in Colorado, for example, we see improvement in the bias error. That's not true everywhere, obviously. Southern New Mexico, for example, the bias error increases going to REST II. So here's a similar bias comparison for Europe. And again, like the Baltic states and Central Europe, we see improvement with REST II. So here's an RMS error image of our current model. And in this case, rather than pastel colors being better, here blue is better, or less red. And so comparing our current model to REST II, we see RMS improvement at multiple sites. And then similarly, mean absolute error, here's our current model. And here's REST II. So I'll talk about some aggregate statistics now. Basically, what we're showing here for the 124 sites is the 25th percentile, mean, median, 75th percentile of the various parameters, with the current model on the top and the REST II model on the bottom. The thing I want to call out first, or most importantly, is that the REST II model is basically unbiased across this data set with a median bias error of less than 1 watt per meter squared. The interquartile difference goes from 7% to 5% approximately for mean bias error. The other statistical measures also improve, specifically RMS drops about 2%, and mean absolute, or in 6% absolute in watts per meter squared, and the MAE also drops. So we're pretty excited by these preliminary results, as they show a promise greater incremental improvement than most of our previous work, and we plan to continue incorporating REST II into our process. Toward that end, our next step will be to calculate regional modulation functions for DNI and GHI and decide what we will use for atmospheric parameters during periods when ECMWF-MAC is not available. An interesting point that a previous validation of REST II, Zhang and Kleisel, made is that a lot of the improvement may be around using ECMWF-MAC to replace the MODIS dataset. Although ultimately we don't care that much about why one methodology or data source may be better than another. We just want to get better answers for our clients. That's something we will probably look at in some detail, at least in part to see if we can improve the MODIS data set for periods when ECMWF-MAC isn't available. Once we've completed those steps, we'll do a detailed validation using additional public stations. And we'll also test using this methodology with our current bias correction methodologies using on-site observations. I don't anticipate that that'll be an issue, but we do need to ensure that we don't introduce some sort of systematic problem with that technique. And we expect to be using this methodology by fall of this year in our resource assessment and energy analysis products. Questions?
We have time for a few questions. Just please, you can go to the mic if you have any questions.
No, you can't ask a question, Kristen. Kristen and I used to work together at 3Tier. I can hear.
Three things you would do to improve the cloudy parts of your data set?
Sure. Our cloud model is, I'm not going to get into explaining how our cloud model works, but the immediate things we could do to improve our cloud model would be to incorporate the thermal data from the satellites. We could then get cloud heights from that and use that to get a cloud sun geometry answer. That's going to help with our answers at low sun angles. So that's probably the biggest thing we would do.
Manajit from NREL. Just quick question, and I apologize. You might have showed it in the first part of your talk,
sure,
which I missed. So REST2 requires, primarily is influenced by the aerosol, and the next influence is the water vapor.
Right.
So aerosols, I think you're getting from MAC.
Right.
The water vapor, where are you
getting? We're getting that from MAC also.
Okay. And do you know how good the water vapor is compared to, see other models? Any estimate of the accuracy? Because we've been looking at MARA use of water vapor. And it depends on which model you get your water vapor from. There is quite a bit of difference between mm-hmm. various models. So I guess that might also provide improvements if you look at it a little bit more closely.
Okay, I know that we assimilate the MARA data sets. I'm not sure if we assimilate water vapor for it for our wind assessment work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's great to know that maybe we should be looking at that also.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Do you guys currently use more than just the visible channel in your product? Do you incorporate
it? Not for the cloud index, no.
But for clear sky, for such like snow cover conditions and things like that?
Well, snow cover we directly get a snow cover mm-hmm. value and basically process that separately than we would the through the same technique, but we segment the snow covered periods from the non-snow covered periods. So that's how we handle that albedo change.
Okay, and bright albedo conditions?
I'm sorry?
Bright surface conditions as well? Like bright deserts and things like that use the same methodology?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Jose from the University of Jaén. You mentioned in a few slides that you are also interested in DNI.
Yes.
Did you make any validation regarding DNI?
We haven't yet. I wanted to, but I didn't quite have time, so I just did the GHI one. Again, one of our active research topics that didn't quite complete in time for this is looking at the modulation function for DNI. That's another reason why we want to use REST2, because it does this direct calculation of the direct clear sky value, as opposed to this previous method that we were using of Perez's, where you basically calculate the DNI from the GHI. So yeah, we definitely are eager to see those results, but we're not quite there yet.
Is there any more questions? If not, then thanks.
Thank you. Oh, and if you have further questions, our email addresses are in the presentation, and you can feel free to email us, and I'll have business cards if anybody wants them.
And now we've